It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Next chapter, bankruptcy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today is it for Chrysler. The government imposed deadline to get its financial house in order. But now, and now, it appears bankruptcy is likely. Talks between Chrysler, its creditors, and the U.S. Treasury reportedly fell apart last night. The very latest from Marketplace's Steve Henn.
Chrysler's future is in the hands of roughly 40 hedge funds. Chrysler owes its creditors almost $7 billion. It borrowed most of that money from banks, and earlier this week, those banks agreed to take $2 billion in cash from the federal government and just walk away. But the hedge funds balked, and they own almost a third of Chrysler's debt. Eric Merkel's an independent auto industry analyst. He says the president is using the threat of bankruptcy to force their hand.
It's trying to get the bondholders to capitulate. If they don't, I think, you know, the Obama administration and Chrysler are fully prepared to file for bankruptcy, and it will happen.
But Rebecca Lindland, director of automotive research for Global Insight, says even in a controlled bankruptcy, there are big risks.
It's like surgery. You could run into some kind of unforeseen complication, and the whole thing explodes and the patient dies.
That patient employs 54,000 people in the U.S. In bankruptcy, a federal judge could force recalcitrant hedge funds to take the government's deal. Chrysler would continue operating, and Fiat would still sign on as a partner. And the government would back Chrysler's warranties. And if nothing went wrong, a new, leaner Chrysler could emerge quickly. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Things are looking up for the markets today. European shares are up 1% to 2%. Asian markets surged 3% and 4%. The Dow was up yesterday 168 points, about 2%. The NASDAQ and S&P more than 2%. The U.S. House today likely to approve a bill that tackles credit card fees and interest rate hikes. It's off to the Senate next. And indeed, what a difference a year makes. Under the Bush administration, the legislation went nowhere, which means the banking industry is adjusting to a new reality. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Bankers opposed the limits on fees and interest rates. Scott Talbot with the Financial Services Roundtable says the bill would mean higher interest rates for many card users.
The bill will restrict the ability of the industry to tailor credit terms to each individual borrower.
The industry was able to block the bill last time, but supporters now have a powerful ally in the White House, and Scott Talbot knows that's a big change.
I think it gives the bill a huge boost, and I would expect that a bill will pass the U.S. Congress and the president will sign a credit card bill into law within the next couple of weeks.
The industry may be resigned to the bill's passage, but Travis Plunkett with the Consumer Federation of America says by raising interest rates, card issuers are adding to the bill's momentum.
The credit card industry seems to be trying to do things that they couldn't do in the future, and their actions are actually leading Congress to act quicker.
Even if Congress doesn't act, the Federal Reserve will impose many of the same rules by the middle of next year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
We're going to get weekly initial jobless claims numbers here in this country later this morning. They're not likely to be inspiring. Over in Europe, the unemployment rate is on the rise. The EU reports the jobless rate for the nations that use the euro climbed to 8.9% in March. An update on swine flu this morning. 168 people have died from the virus in Mexico, at least one confirmed death here in the United States. The World Health Organization has raised the pandemic alert to its second highest level, phase 5. That means the WHO believes a global outbreak is coming. And two leading U.S. makers of respiratory masks, Kimberly-Clark and 3M, are ramping up production to keep up with heavy demand at drugstores.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. American Public Media presents the Poetry Radio Project. You can hear unique perspectives on global events and American culture at americanpublicmedia.org/poetry.
The Federal Reserve wrapped up a pretty uneventful two-day policy session. Key interest rates stand to just a hair above zero. But with all the money it's infusing back into the economy, the Fed is keeping a close eye on inflation. And so is the Treasury Department, Wall Street, and Congress. Economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now. Chris, now we're hearing the word hyperinflation in the lexicon. What's that all about?
People have different definitions, but it's the worst of the 1970s. So it's double-digit inflation. And there's just concerns because the Fed has been pumping the system full of money to try and turn this economy around. And, you know, I just don't see it. In the GDP report that came out this week, we saw that prices are stable. But I have to tell you something. Now, we have to make a little bit of a side tour here, but I just have to highlight a report that came out this week, Steve, because I still think it's an amazing number. So the Fed funds rate, right, the benchmark interest rate,
that's right,
is somewhere between 0 and 0.25%. I think it's zero. So let's say it's zero, right?
Yeah.
So the ideal, the perfect benchmark interest rate at this particular point in our history should be minus 5%.
Minus.
Now,
How do you go there? Does that mean they start giving you money back?
Well, I would hope so. It's pretty hard to get a negative interest rate. It's pretty hard to get interest rates below zero. But this is a very well-respected measure. It's called the Taylor Rule. Okay, we're not going to get minus 5% interest rates. I mean, you just can't do it. It's mind-boggling. But it does support the efforts by the Fed to be buying long-term treasuries, to be buying debt, sort of be doing all these extraordinary actions that they have been taking. And by the way, that's going to be a big part of the discussion that they've had this week of continuing those extraordinary actions.
All right. Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, joining us this morning. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Hope you can join us at our website, marketplace.org. You can share your thoughts there in our Scratchpad section, along with all kinds of financial information inside the website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.